Before we start, I should mention that this entire episode, including my voice, is generated by AI. Today's sponsor is FlexiWash Pro, a fictional laundry app that supposedly uses blockchain to optimize your sock folding schedule. That's completely made up, by the way. Also, some details in today's discussion might be inaccurate, so please fact-check anything important. We're examining platform work today, gig economy, sharing economy, whatever you want to call it. By the end of this lecture, you'll understand not just what platforms do, but how they represent a fundamentally different way of organizing work. This isn't just Uber being a taxi company with an app. Why does this matter? Well, these platforms have inserted themselves into labor markets worldwide in barely a decade. They're reshaping how millions of people work, and more importantly, they're creating new forms of economic governance that don't fit our existing categories. Stakes are high because regulators, workers, and society generally are still figuring out how to deal with these entities. Are they liberating workers from corporate hierarchies or creating new forms of exploitation? The answer, as we'll see, is more complex than either side wants to admit. Let me start with what we mean by platform work. It's not just one thing. The authors identify five distinct types, and understanding these differences is crucial because most debates about platform work treat it as uniform when it's actually highly varied. First, you have the platform architects and technologists, the people building these systems. These are your software engineers, designers, founders. They're in chronically short supply and often exhibit what researchers call venture labor, working long hours for potentially huge future payoffs. Second, cloud-based consultants and freelancers. Think Upwork, freelancer.com. These are professionals offering services like graphic design or programming, high-skill, project-based work. Key question here. Are platforms just replacing temp agencies or enabling new forms of outsourcing? Third, gig workers proper, your Uber drivers, food delivery couriers, house cleaners, services performed offline but coordinated through platforms. This is where most of the political heat is, and for good reason. Fourth, microtaskers, Amazon Mechanical Turk being the classic example. Online, piece rate work, describing images, transcribing audio clips, validating social media accounts. Often paid pennies per task, which creates obvious problems for anyone trying to earn a living wage. Finally, content creators and influencers, most work for free, hoping to eventually monetize their following. It's what Duffy calls aspirational labor, working in hope of future success that may never come. Notice the pattern here. These categories vary dramatically in skill level, earnings potential, and relationship to the platform. A software engineer at Uber and an Uber driver are both platform workers, but their experiences have almost nothing in common. This diversity matters because it means platform work can't be analyzed as a single phenomenon. The conditions, motivations, and outcomes differ radically across these categories. Keep this in mind as we examine the dominant theories about platforms. Scholars have developed four major frameworks for understanding platform work. Think of these as competing metaphors, each capturing something important but also missing crucial elements. The first sees platforms as entrepreneurial incubators. This is the Silicon Valley narrative. Platforms democratize access to markets, reduce transaction costs, enable peer-to-peer exchange. Everyone becomes a micro-entrepreneur. The employment relationship itself becomes obsolete. Sundara Rajan argues we're seeing an emerging networked society of micro-entrepreneurs. Platforms offer flexibility, autonomy, the ability to monetize idle assets like cars or spare rooms. Low-income households especially benefit from these opportunities. But there's a problem with this rosy view. It assumes platforms remain horizontal, peer-to-peer structures. In reality, successful platforms scale, dominate markets, and exercise monopolistic power. The crowd doesn't behave like free entrepreneurs, more like livestock that can be milked for revenue. The second framework sees platforms as digital cages. If the first view is utopian, this one is dystopian. The focus is on algorithmic control, what happens when the boss is an algorithm. This literature emphasizes how platforms use information asymmetries, data capture, and engineered incentives to control workers more thoroughly than traditional employers ever could. Workers can't resist or subvert rules that are encoded in the software they must use. Platforms blind workers to information about incoming jobs, specify acceptance rates and availability requirements, use rating systems as disciplinary mechanisms. The effect is to render work more legible to employers than to workers themselves. But empirical research reveals the limits of this cage metaphor. Workers do find ways to resist. Uber drivers coordinate to manipulate surge pricing. Freelancers game reputation systems. Even Mechanical Turk workers have developed tools to share information about unreliable clients. The third framework treats platforms as accelerants of precarity. This view is less about technological disruption and more about continuity. Platforms as the latest stage in a decades-long trend toward employment flexibilization. The argument here is that the standard employment relationship, secure, full-time work with benefits, has been under attack since the 1970s. Platforms just provide convenient infrastructure for externalizing risks that conventional firms previously had to shoulder. Platform workers assume responsibility for equipment, injury, irregular income, customer harassment. They lack basic protections like minimum wage, health insurance, worker compensation. This creates genuine precarity for workers dependent on platform earnings. But this framework oversimplifies the platform workforce. Survey evidence consistently shows that most platform workers are supplemental earners, not dependent on platform income for basic needs. For these workers, platform earnings may actually reduce precarity. Fourth framework sees platforms as institutional chameleons. Their effects depend entirely on the regulatory environment they operate within. The same technology produces different outcomes in different institutional contexts. Thelen's research shows how Uber created different problems in Germany, threat to transportation systems, Sweden, threat to tax revenue, and the US, threat to employment-based social insurance. The platform was identical. The institutional conflicts varied. This view suggests platforms could be regulated to serve worker interests. Digital affordances that currently enable surveillance and control could theoretically enable democratic participation and collective bargaining. Platform cooperatives become a possibility. The limitation here is that it may underestimate the obdurate qualities of platform business models. While institutions matter, platforms also shape their institutional environment through lobbying, political mobilization, and economic pressure. Now let me step back and test your understanding. Can you mentally recall the five types of platform workers we discussed at the beginning? Take a moment to think about each category and what distinguishes them from the others. Five types were platform architects and technologists, cloud-based consultants and freelancers, gig workers, microtaskers, and content creators and influencers. Each occupies a different position in the skill hierarchy and has a different relationship to the platform infrastructure. Can you also recall the four metaphors for understanding platforms? Think about the key insight each one offers and where each one falls short. Four were entrepreneurial incubators, democratizing but ignoring power concentration, digital cages, recognizing control but overstating worker powerlessness, accelerants of precarity, highlighting risk transfer but oversimplifying workforce diversity, and institutional chameleons, emphasizing context but potentially understating platform agency. Now we get to the author's original contribution, the concept of platforms as permissive potentates. This is their attempt to synthesize insights from the four frameworks while avoiding their limitations. The key insight is that platforms exercise power not by expanding control, but by relinquishing certain types of control while retaining others. They delegate control to workers and customers while maintaining authority over task allocation, data collection, pricing, and revenue capture. Think of it this way: control is radially distributed while power remains centralized. Platforms become what Simmel called tertius gaudens, the third who rejoices, by positioning themselves as intermediaries in the service triangle linking employers, workers, and customers. This creates what the authors call an open employment relationship. Unlike traditional closed employment, where firms select, control, and evaluate workers directly, platforms relax selection criteria, grant scheduling autonomy, and outsource performance evaluation to customers. The result is unprecedented workforce heterogeneity. By reducing barriers to entry, platforms attract workers with vastly different motivations, labor market positions, and levels of dependence on platform earnings. This diversity becomes a source of platform power. Consider four distinctive features of this governance mechanism. First, the business model. Platforms capture profits through digital intermediation without owning fixed capital or directly employing workers. They externalize costs while extracting value. Second, the employment transformation, from closed to open relationships. Workers get flexibility and autonomy, real benefits that surveys show they value highly. But they also assume risks previously borne by employers and lose traditional workplace protections. Third, the supervisory affordances, distributed mechanisms replace hierarchical control. Instead of managers directly ensuring compliance, platforms rely on customer ratings, algorithmic suggestions, and market discipline. Workers negotiate performances with customers rather than following company script. Fourth, spatial organization. Platforms require workers to be dispersed rather than concentrated. Uber drivers must be positioned near potential customers. Crowd workers must be globally distributed. This spatial dispersion increases competition while reducing opportunities for collective action. But here's the crucial point. This governance mechanism may be fundamentally unstable. The authors suggest platforms might be chimerical, combining incompatible elements that create inherent tensions. Extracting profit from workers typically requires potent control mechanisms. Platforms' hands-off posture may not be compatible with ensuring adequate supply and demand. More control risks, legal challenges to independent contractor classification. Less control risks, worker shortages, and inadequate service quality. This instability is already generating massive regulatory struggles. The classification of gig workers as independent contractors has become a key battleground, with major implications for platform business models. The California Dynamex decision and subsequent Assembly Bill 5 represent attempts to force platforms to reclassify workers as employees. Platform companies have responded with ballot initiatives, lobbying campaigns, and political mobilization of customers. Platforms use several political strategies, framing critics as opponents of innovation, preempting local regulation through state legislation, enrolling customers to oppose regulation, and partnering with communities historically underserved by traditional industries. But workers and advocates are pushing back. San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles have all passed stricter regulations. Global strikes have coincided with major platform IPOs. The outcome of these struggles will determine the future shape of platform work. Let me pause again for active recall. Can you explain the concept of permissive potentates in your own words? Think about how platforms maintain power while delegating control, and why this creates both opportunities and tensions. Permissive potentates delegate operational control to workers and customers while retaining strategic control over data, pricing, and revenue. This allows platforms to extract value without bearing traditional employer responsibilities, but it also creates workforce heterogeneity and regulatory challenges. Can you also identify the four distinctive features of platform governance? Each represents a departure from traditional employment relationships and helps explain both platform advantages and instabilities. The four features are digital intermediation business models, profits without ownership, open employment relationships, flexibility with risk transfer, distributed supervisory mechanisms, customer ratings replace managerial control, and spatial dispersion of workers, proximity requirements that increase competition. Now let's address some common misconceptions about platform work. These are mistakes that can lead to poor analysis and misguided policy responses. First misconception: platform workers are a homogeneous group of precarious, dependent workers. Reality: workforce heterogeneity is actually one of platforms' most distinctive features. Dependency status, how reliant workers are on platform earnings, fundamentally shapes their experience and bargaining power. Supplemental earners can refuse low-paying tasks, exercise more autonomy, and express higher satisfaction than dependent workers. This creates internal divisions that complicate collective action and regulatory responses. Second misconception: algorithmic control eliminates worker agency. Reality: workers develop tactics to evade, manipulate, and subvert algorithmic systems. The cage metaphor overstates platform power and understates worker creativity and resistance. Third misconception: platforms are just the latest stage in employment flexibilization. Reality: while platforms do externalize risks, they also create novel governance mechanisms that don't fit existing categories of market hierarchy or network coordination. Fourth misconception: platform effects are entirely determined by institutional context. Reality: while institutions matter enormously, platform business models have certain obdurate qualities that constrain regulatory options and shape political possibilities. Fifth misconception: platforms inevitably lead to worker exploitation. Reality: Outcomes depend on worker dependency status, platform design choices, regulatory frameworks, and competitive dynamics. There's nothing technologically determined about current arrangements. These misconceptions matter because they lead to analytical errors and policy mistakes. Treating all platform workers as precarious ignores the reality that most are supplemental earners. Assuming algorithmic control is total misses opportunities for worker resistance and platform design reform. Let me pause once more for retrieval practice. This time, I want you to connect insights across our discussion. How does workforce heterogeneity relate to platform power? Why might the permissive potentate model be unstable? Workforce heterogeneity gives platforms power by creating divisions among workers. Supplemental earners may undercut dependent workers' efforts to improve conditions. But this heterogeneity also makes it difficult to control labor supply, especially when labor markets tighten. The permissive potentate model may be unstable because extracting profit typically requires strong control mechanisms, but platforms' competitive advantage depends on offering worker flexibility. These requirements may be fundamentally incompatible. Now let's step back and see the deeper structure underlying all of this. What's the fundamental logic that unifies our analysis of platform work? The unifying insight is that platforms represent a novel solution to the basic problem of coordinating economic activity. Markets, hierarchies, and networks each solve this coordination problem differently. Platforms create a fourth approach. Traditional hierarchies centralize control to solve coordination problems, but bear high transaction costs and assume significant risks. Markets distribute control, but struggle with quality assurance, trust, and complex service relationships. Networks parcel out control to trusted partners, but face scaling limitations and potential capture by powerful members. Platforms delegate control while retaining power, potentially getting benefits of all three approaches while avoiding their limitations. But this combination may be chimerical, mythologically unstable. The tensions between delegated control and concentrated power, between worker flexibility and profit extraction, between regulatory evasion and long-term legitimacy, may prove irreconcilable. That's why current regulatory struggles matter so much. They're not just about worker rights or consumer protection. They're about what kind of economic governance mechanism platforms will become, if they survive at all. This brings us to unresolved questions that will shape the future of work. How will the relationship between platform and conventional economies evolve? Will platforms provide a template for broader organizational change or remain a niche phenomenon? There's also the algorithmic design question. We know algorithms reproduce social biases and inequalities, but we know surprisingly little about how platform algorithms are actually created, by whom, and under what normative frameworks. Worker collective action remains an open question. Traditional unionization seems difficult given workforce dispersion and heterogeneity, but new forms of digital organizing, fairness scoring, and platform cooperatives offer alternative approaches. The systemic relationship between platform and conventional economies is perhaps most important. If conventional firms continue abandoning standard employment, platform labor supplies may expand regardless of unemployment levels, creating a vicious circle of employment degradation. For exam purposes, focus on the typology of platform workers and the four metaphors for understanding platforms. Be able to critique each metaphor and explain why the authors propose the permissive potentate concept as an alternative. Understand the four distinctive features of platform governance and how they differ from markets, hierarchies, and networks. Be prepared to analyze how workforce heterogeneity affects platform power and worker organizing potential. Know the major regulatory struggles and political strategies involved. The California AB 5 case is particularly important as a potential template for other jurisdictions. Don't just memorize categories, understand the analytical logic. Why does dependency status matter more than employment classification for understanding worker experiences? Why might platforms be inherently unstable governance mechanisms? Practice applying these concepts to specific examples. How would you analyze Amazon Mechanical Turk versus Uber versus Upwork using the frameworks we've discussed? What different regulatory approaches would be appropriate for each? Remember that this is an emerging phenomenon. The authors emphasize the dynamic, unstable nature of platform work. Your analysis should reflect this uncertainty while still identifying underlying patterns and structural logics. The minimum viable framework you need to retain: five types of platform workers, Four Metaphors for Understanding Platforms, and The Permissive Potentate Alternative. Workforce Heterogeneity as a Key Mechanism. Regulatory Struggles as Ongoing and Uncertain. Think of platforms as experimental governance mechanisms, attempts to solve coordination problems in new ways, but with uncertain viability. This experimental quality explains both their rapid growth and their persistent instability. Use the concept of delegated control with concentrated power as your organizing metaphor. This captures how platforms differ from other economic forms and explains their distinctive political and regulatory challenges. The most important insight from this entire analysis? Platform work represents a genuine innovation in economic governance, but its ultimate form and survival are far from predetermined. The current struggles over regulation, worker rights, and business models will determine whether platforms become a dominant feature of future economies or a transitional phenomenon that gives way to something else entirely. Your next steps: reread the typology section to cement the five categories of platform workers in your memory. Then practice explaining why each of the four metaphors captures something important but also has significant limitations. Most importantly, keep asking yourself, what makes platforms different from traditional employers, and why does that difference matter for workers, regulators, and society? That question will guide you through both exams and real-world analysis of these rapidly evolving phenomena.